And now, here's the ledger keeper of the Padres canon, Dallas McLaughlin.
Ah, yes. Welcome back to another episode of Padres canon. Thank you, voice. I am Dallas McLaughlin. I am the ledger keeper of the unofficial, possibly official Padres canon. And man, last week was quite the episode. I mean, it was a no-brainer. Borderline duh. Hall of Famer, one of the greatest all-time Padres to ever put on blue and orange and white, and then a blue and white, and then possibly a brown here and there and a camo jersey, ever to wear all those things. Mr. Trevor Hoffman, AC/DC's biggest fan. He got 94% of the vote yes and 6% no. And God, do I want to know why people voted no. Was it just for fun because you knew he was going to get in? Or what, did you have a reason? Please message me at the Kep Bay, DM me, slide into those DMs like Trevor Hoffman slid into the Hall of Fame. Come on, that's called segues. That's what we do in the biz. Anyway, it is time. Put on your AC/DC. Let's all press play at the same time because Trevor Hoffman, you have become the next official member of the unofficially official Padres canon. Welcome, sir. Welcome. And from one closer who's a shoo-in, no doubt member of the Padres canon, we go to another closer, a questionable member of the Padres canon. Yeah, canon, I that's how excited I am. I screwed up. Canon, I don't know what to do here. But man, was it fun to talk about. And was it fun to visit my old friend, Rick Romero, better known as RJ's Fro, better known as the better host of Zero Chance Podcast. Enjoy. Oh, we are joined today, boys and girls, by a very special guest. One of the godfathers, I would say, of Padres podcasting after the Kept Faith, of course. early on, rivals. Come to blows, rivals of the Kept Faith. The host of the former Padres and Pints. I'm going to just probably say it, the former Zero Chance pod. I don't know if that's ever coming back.
We posted a podcast episode recently.
How recently was that?
Like 2 months ago.
Okay. 2 months ago. All right. Well, you're taking the Gwintelligence method of podcasting, just whenever the strikes you.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the better half of Brady Phelps, Rick Romero, RJ's Fro. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. And it's good to see us talking without throwing blows because, you know, we need to heal as a nation. And
yeah, that's right.
The Kept Faith and Padres and Pints is a good stepping stone for that.
I think so. I think what helped is when Chris just kind of lost his mind and started lifting weights nonstop. I think what helped was we were like, oh, we should probably stop messing with him because he might murder us.
Yeah. I kept sitting there telling Chris, I was like, Chris, man, like one of us needs to bulk up and it's not going to be me. So like, you need to cover our ass right now.
Yeah. No, I'm thankful for that. Yes. It was a hard fought rivalry, but in the end we all lost. So I appreciate you coming on the canon. And you have brought us somebody, man, when you told me, I mean, we were just texting, but when you texted this person's name to me, legitimately, I smiled from ear to ear. Now, that doesn't mean my opinion's going one way or another on his inclusion in the Padres canon, but I'm so glad we're going to talk about him. So who did you bring us today, Rick?
Mr. Rod Beck, shooter.
Rod Beck. I can't even say his name without laughing. Rod Beck is incredible. I'm going to quickly give a little background on Rod, and then we'll ask you why you chose him to be inducted into the canon. Rod Beck, born in Burbank, California, which cannot be a fun place to be born at in the late 60s as he was. I mean, Burbank's not fun now. I can't imagine what it was like back then. But born in Burbank, he was drafted by the Oakland Athletics in the 13th round of the 1986 Major League Baseball Draft. Prior to the 1988 season, he was traded to the Giants organization. He played in their minor leagues for a couple of years, made his major league debut in 1991, pitching against the Montreal Expos, which, I mean, early 90s Expos,
great lineups, wonderful team. Such a sad loss. Beck had a quick rise to the majors. Had a quick, even in the Oakland Athletics organization, pitched well. He always kind of pitched well, pitched better at every stop, which was kind of a crazy thing for a guy who was selected in the 13th round like Rod Beck was. I didn't find any early pictures of Rod Beck. I guess I should have looked it up, because all I think of when I think of Rod Beck is a kind of a weird version of Danny McBride in Eastbound and Down.
Exactly.
He had the classic, you know, the classic mustache. Well, with the handle.
Mustache.
Yeah. And always looked a little too big to be able to throw a ball.
And don't forget that mullet flowing too.
Oh my God. I mean, he looked like an out of shape Rip Sutcliffe, which I really, really like. So anyway, you have brought Rod Beck to us for inclusion into the Padres canon. Rick, why should we have this man in the canon?
Yeah, so I am absolutely fascinated by the story with Rod Beck. You know, from 1993 to 2008, there was always a consistent presence in the Padres roster. That was Trevor Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
However, some people fail to remember how he got hurt in 2003.
Yes.
He got hurt in the offseason and had two shoulder surgeries. And the Padres that year, they decided to, roll out the likes of Jay Witosik as a closer, Jarrett Wright, Matt Herges, Brandon Villafurdy, all of those guys collected. Oh, can't forget the ageless wonder, Jesse Orozco, even got two saves that year.
Man, I just got dizzy with you saying all those names.
Jesse Orozco was probably in his like mid-60s that season, I'm guessing.
And that's if he was telling the truth about his age.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> So finally it got to a point where the Padres were like, look, we need to bring somebody in. And then in June of that year, they went to Rod Beck. He was, before that, he was in the minor leagues with the Cubs. And there was a famous story how he would sit there and he would park his RV out in center field during spring training. And like, he would invite Cubs fans over and they would drink beers. He would sign autographs, take pictures. It was like this like feel good story. Cause like at that time he was battling some injury, or he made it through some injuries as well. So he was kind of very low on the totem pole. And the Padres took a shot on him. They brought him in. Took a shot on the shooter. They brought him in 2003, and he ended up going lights out with the team. He saved 20 games the rest of the season from June until the end of the season. He had a 1.78 ERA. He was absolutely unhitless. And, you know, Trevor Hoffman, he came back towards the end of the season. Mm-hmm. So kind of they stuck with Shooter, though. Trevor just kind of got some little throw-in games and stuff. Brought him back in 2004, and he was apparently battling some personal demons.
Yes.
And he did not perform as well after that. And then eventually the Padres released him. And then he never played in the major leagues again. So kind of a good feel good story, but then it also turns tragic because of the personal demons that he battled. He ended up passing away in 2007 at the age of 38. He was apparently in his home by himself, and there was many copious amounts of drugs found in the house with him. So yeah, it's just that feel good story of him, you know, rising back to the top, but then also it's a tragedy because he ended up, you know, losing it all at an early age.
And we're going to hit that in a minute. I do want to put out some specific things though about his 2003 season. You mentioned he had 20 saves, but that was also in 20 chances.
Exactly.
He was 20 for 20 in that season. And he also earned the National League Comeback Player of the Year award in 2003. Mm-hmm. Those are pretty notable stats. I mean, a 1.7 ERA is incredible. I think one of the things, and here's what I love about you bringing up Rod Beck, that you nominating Rod Beck for this, is it kind of feels like it's much more of an emotional pick than a statistical pick. Although his stats as a Padre are phenomenal. I mean, if you were just to isolate those stats, obviously he could have a reason for inclusion. Obviously his service time for the Padres a little short. I don't know how it's going to play out. We're going to see, but I love the emotional connection because I remember back in 2003, you know, that was a pretty lean year for the Padres. We weren't, you know, looking like World Series contenders in 2003. And I just remember going to games and being excited about Rod Beck. Like he was exciting to go watch. It was like, oh my God, this guy, Rod Beck, who we had seen as fans, cause he was a closer for the Giants forever. Mm-hmm. So we'd seen him all as a fan. But now we get this guy who looks like he literally just downed a beer, crushed the can, and then came out of the gate to close a game. And it was kind of like seeing your dad be the closer.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You wanted to root for him.
Exactly. He was so easy to root for. Like how we talked about earlier, like he was Kenny Powers basically with that, that mustache and the mullet and overweight and like 13th round pick. Like on paper, this guy should not have even made the major leagues yet. He ended up having a pretty successful career and, you know, then he ended up losing it all and he got it back with the Padres that year. And it was just like, it's something too, like where, like I said, we always had Trevor Hoffman. He was like when, you know, when you think of Padres closers, you obviously think of Trevor Hoffman, like first and foremost. But there was that one season where, you know, he wasn't there for us and Rod Beck, he was the, you know, overweight dad, like you said, he just came on in and he's like, don't worry, son, I've got this. I will take care of you. And he brought us, you know, put his arm around us and comforted us that season.
Yeah. And it's crazy because thinking about, I mean, you know, we brushed through his career and I'll go back a little bit just to talk about it because he came in that season to kind of, you know, as a toss in to help get through whatever was going to happen with Hoffman and get us through the year. Like you said, and it's almost like his career has been that, like he came up with the Giants. He was not the immediate closer, but the next he had a pretty forgettable year and his first time with the closers or first time with the Giants. But then he replaced Dave Righetti in 1992 as the closer for the Giants. And from 1992 to 1997, he was their closer. Like he was the Giants closer. And he was good. He was very good. And then he gets replaced basically by Rob Nin. He goes to the Cubs and he is great. Like it's the thing. He was great. He conserved, I'm reading it right here. In 1998 with the Cubs, he converted 51 of 58 chances.
Yeah.
And he's great. But then next year he has injuries. So then they send him to the Red Sox and he pitched well for the Red Sox. But then he had an injury and then goes to the minors, finally comes back in 2003 with the Padres. So it's kind of like every step of the way, like he was great. And then something weird happened and he had to be replaced. And then he replaced somebody and then got hurt and then had to be replaced. And then he replaced. So like it's the strangest career path. And now I kind of see why the guy probably drank a lot and did a lot of drugs because it was up and down life.
It was something that I didn't know until I did like a little bit of research on him, but apparently he was buried in a Cubs jersey too. And like, he only played like a season and a half with the Cubs and he spent all that time with the Giants, but apparently like he had like a fondness for the Cubs, I guess.
Do you remember that Wow. Do you remember that movie, The Fan? With Robert De Niro, it's like that Wesley Snipes character where he has a Giants jersey on, but underneath the Giants jersey was like the Braves jersey or whatever. Whatever he was playing for. I forget the team. Rod Beck secretly always had a Cubs jersey underneath. That's amazing. I'm saying it right now. My wife doesn't listen to this podcast, but maybe she will. And if she's listening, I want to be buried in a Rod Beck 2003 Padres jersey. And I've never been more serious about anything because one, my death won't matter. Oh, my wife just texted me from the other room saying, no, I won't. She's always listening. Our wives are always just outside our podcast doors listening.
Exactly.
Maybe they'll talk about me. Well, let's see. His death in 2007, as you said, was very sad. And I actually think this is an interesting footnote to it, that the medical examiner has never publicly disclosed the cause of death. Neither did the police department. Nobody's ever said what it was. But as you mentioned, there was a lot of cocaine and heroin found in his home and bedroom. And I mean, look at him, you know, just sometimes you can just look at somebody and figure it out pretty clearly. But I think that's kind of fascinating that whatever respect he had gained in Arizona, it was enough for no one to want to talk about his death publicly.
What if here's a little twist on things. He's not really dead? And he's like an Elvis situation where like you'll see him, like it's like a spring training, like folklore now, like where you see Rod Beck buying a pack of smokes or something at the AMPM on the corner of, across the street from Peoria Sports Complex or something like that.
That would be amazing. It's like that old Ty Cobb, Joe Jackson story.
Yeah.
Where he goes into the store and it's Rod Beck. And don't you recognize me? I'm Rod Beck. Oh my God. I would love for that to be true. Just living in Mexico. A fun story about Rod Beck, because obviously statistically, who knows if he can be included, but right now it's an emotional pick if you were to make it happen. And this is a fun story about Rod Beck, the guy who designs a lot of our Kept Faith logos, Mr. Scott O'Malley, who works for the NFL, I felt like there should be another word there, but there's not, does a lot of their logos. He has a great story about Rod Beck where he was at a plane going somewhere. Who knows where I can't remember where they were going, but there's a layover and he saw Rod Beck in the bar and he was like, I have to go talk to Rod Beck. And so he went up to the bar and he was talking to Rod Beck and he said, they had their pleasantries and he was very nice. He said, Rod Beck was very nice. And then Scott was like, okay, I'm going to take off. And he like went to leave and Rod Beck was like, hey, where are you going? And it was like, I was just going to leave you alone. He's like, oh no, let's get some dinner. And he literally sat down with Rod Beck and he said, Rod Beck ate 4 chili dogs in the bar and they had a bunch of beer. And he said, it got to the point where they didn't have anything else to talk about. And he basically said, I just wound up sitting there watching Rod Beck eat 4 chili dogs in relative silence. But I think that's the greatest thing ever, that Rod Beck just wanted to hang out with somebody. Like, it makes me so sad.
See, but like that's like the type of guy he was. Maybe he was just a, you know, broken soul all this time that just, you know, wanted to be loved by people.
Wanted to be loved. That's true.
He don't we all? Don't we all?
and how can you make him feel bad about that? We all want to be included. I'm just waiting for my wife to text me. I won't make you feel included, but she's not, so that's good. Well, listen, there's not much more of a case to make for Rod Beck other than his time with the Padres was pretty much flawless.
And
he took over successfully for somebody who you could never take over for. I mean, we didn't have to worry about Hoffman for that time, which was something we'd never done as Padres fans. So in and of itself, there are arguments for his inclusion, and I'm going to bring it to you, Rick. Do you believe the Rod Beck should be included in the giant history book that is the San Diego Padres?
You know, does he deserve a statue? It's debatable. Uh-huh. Number retirement? Probably not. Probably. Padres Hall of Fame? Doubtful.
Yeah.
But he definitely deserves a page in the Padres history books as the guy who came in and saved the 2003 season for that wonderful San Diego Padres team that consisted of Ramon Vasquez and Sean Burroughs and Rondell White, Mark Kotze, an ex-Nady, Gary Bennett. Are these names like bringing anything to you? Some joy?
I've lost a lot of weight, but I still feel like I'm gonna have a heart attack as you mention these names to me. It's taking me back to my 2003 weight. Well, I'm just
in the end, I will say maybe he doesn't belong in it, but he's a fantastic story.
Wow! So you're gonna say no for the canon?
I'm saying no.
Oh my God, Rick, I didn't want to be the one person that said no. So I'm glad that you said it, because I also feel like he does not need to be in the Padres canon.
But I do really, really hope that he is still alive to this day and is in Arizona buying smokes.
And maybe he has like a Google notification thing set up for himself, like a Google alert. And he's going to listen to this podcast and hear that there's still two people who love him dearly. And Rod Beck, if you're listening, eat a chili dog for us. Okay. But ultimately it is not our decision whether he winds up in the canon or not. It is yours, listeners. It is your decision. Go to the Kept Faith on Twitter at the Kept Faith. It will be in our pinned tweet. The simple question: does Rod Beck belong in the Padres canon? In that big history book, does he belong to be mentioned? It's up to you. You vote yes or no. It's as simple as that. We've given you our opinions. A great story, a fantastic story, but a terrible ending, tragic on many, many levels. Had a great stellar Padres career. Both of us have said no to his inclusion, but that doesn't mean that that's the final word. We will announce what you decide, Padres Twitter, what you decide on the next episode, if Rod Beck will make his way into the canon or not. Rick, I appreciate you coming on the podcast. You can follow Rick at RJ's Fro on Twitter and get your quarterly Zero Chance podcast fix. And this is not me being rude. I'm not being rude here, but did you guys ever do your own Zero Chance Twitter account?
We did.
Okay. Yes. Cause I'm sure I follow it. But it's at Zero Chance Pod, right?
It is.
I do follow it. That was just off the top of my head. So at Zero Chance Pod, check it out. You guys had some fun conversations, I know, last year with a lot of players on the field, which was cool. So check out Zero Chance Pod, follow Rick on Twitter at RJ's Fro, and then go to at the Kept Faith and check out the vote. You have the final word. Thanks, Rick.